Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I talk about traffic issues on this channel quite a bit, and I talk about people who get tickets and police who give tickets and all kinds of things of that nature, what's illegal on the roads and so on. And every now and then, someone will send me a note and say, hey, Steve, I beat one of those in court. I beat those in court all the time, that kind of thing. And I always tell people, if you do beat one of those in court, can you please get me the case number and what court it was in? And I'd like to see like a transcript or whatever, because sometimes I get the impression that some people are pulling my leg. But I've also got a fascination with it because some of these things are kind of unusual. And I'm not saying I don't believe anybody on this stuff. I'm simply saying I, as an attorney, would like to see the documents. I'd like to see how it actually went down, as they say. And I don't know if that's what inspired this. But I got an email last night from a guy named Stephen Goddard. And I think I'm pronouncing that name correct, and I apologize if I'm not. And all the email said was, check this out. I'm pretty proud I did this. And the man's got a right to be proud. What was attached to his email was a PDF. And the PDF is an opinion on appeal from Idaho, District Court of the 4th Judicial Circuit. And it's an opinion on appeal, meaning that this man, Stephen Goddard, went to court and he was ticketed for something, which he was fighting in court, and he lost. He lost in front of a magistrate, representing himself, by the way. And he decided to appeal that, and I suspect the way the appeals work, I'm reading between the lines here, that the appeal from a magistrate goes up to the next level court where a judge hears the case, and then that judge has the power to either affirm the decision, reverse the decision, send it back down with instructions, and on appeal, representing himself pro se, he won. He won. And this is a pretty cool case because he actually raises some arguments that I think many people would have had a hard time wading through, okay, because he gets heavily into the law of Idaho. And it's a well-written opinion, by the way. And it's the case of the state of Idaho versus Stephen Goddard. It is a 7-page opinion, I believe, and it's signed by the senior district judge, Gerald Schrader. And it basically tells a story that on March 16th, 2018, the appellant, which is Mr. Goddard, was cited for improper use of a designated lane after he was stopped by a police officer near the intersection of Eagle Road and Pine Road in Meridian, Idaho. Meridian, Idaho. So they held a trial, and the appellant was found guilty of the offense for which he now appeals. The appellant asserts that he was cited and improperly found guilty of improper use of designated lane because he left a marked turn lane and merged with an adjacent lane that went straight ahead. Now, here's the thing. There's testimony, and the testimony is spelled out in the analysis of the case. But I can summarize this for you because it's much easier to summarize than it is for me to read this long narrative, because the narrative is kind of hard to follow if you can't go back and reread stuff. But imagine a situation where you're approaching an intersection with a bunch of different lights and signals and controls, okay? And there are actually 2 left turn lanes. And then I believe there's also 2 straight through lanes. But the key here is that there is a left turn only lane and a straight only lane. The 2 lanes are next to each other, right? So if you're in this lane and you approach the intersection to go through, you must turn left. If you are in this lane going straight, you must go straight. And there are different signals above those 2 lanes. So the left turn lane has its own red, yellow, green signals, and so does the straight through lane. So Mr. Goddard, on the day in question, was approaching this intersection. He was 5 cars back in a left turn lane. The left turn lane is separated from the straight through lane by a solid white line, and that's extremely important here. Solid yellow line, different matter. Brick wall, different matter. But right now, solid white line, okay? He's a few cars back from the light, and he realizes, because he stopped at the light because there's a red light for the left turn, he realizes that he needs to go straight. So he looks, no traffic over here, he's perfectly good to go, indicates with his signal that he's going to turn into that lane, crosses the solid white line, gets in this lane, and proceeds through the light. because this lane has a green light above it. This lane that he'd been in had a red light, but that was for the left turners. He didn't turn left. He went straight. So he went through the intersection on a green, and a police officer who witnessed the whole shebang went after him, lit him up, pulled him over, and said, "I'm getting you for improper lane usage or improper use of a designated lane." Now, the court says that the facts of this case were essentially undisputed at trial. The officer testified he was on duty, traveling southbound on Eagle Road in one lane, and he approached the intersection. He was going south. He observed the southbound through lanes had green lights, and the left turn arrows were red. He then observed a Buick crossover-type vehicle stopped at the red arrow. That, of course, would be the vehicle that Mr. Goddard was in. Now, he claims that Goddard was the first person at the light. Goddard says he wasn't, but that actually does not play into this. It's irrelevant. So that's important. So there is a sign indicating left turn only for the turn left lanes. And the vehicle being driven by Goddard went from that left turn only lane and merged back into the southbound lane from a stop position and continued south on Eagle Road in the lane that it was in. So the left turn lane had a red light, but the straight lane had a green light. Now, the appellant acknowledged that the left turn lane had a red light, which would have prevented him from proceeding through the left turn. According to him, he was behind approximately five vehicles, not the first at the light. He testified that the turn lane he was in was separated by a solid white line. So they go through a bunch of this testimony, and the magistrate ruled and said, once you're in this left turn lane, you've got to make a left turn. You have to. That's why you're in the lane. And the traffic control device says left turn only. So if you don't make a left turn out of that lane, you're violating the sign that's at the intersection. The question is, when do you have to abide by the sign at the intersection? Do you have to obey it from back there? Or do you have to obey it as you go through the intersection? And Mr. Goddard made the argument, said, no, that sign should only apply to me as I go through the intersection. Why would it make sense that 10 cars back and a sign up here says left lane must turn left? Why would a car back here be forced to go all the way through the intersection if they realize that they can cross a white line and go straight? So the officer activated his lights, initiated a traffic stop for improper use of a lane. And the officer said that Mr. Goddard told him he thought he was in the correct lane, but then his GPS informed him he needed to go straight. So he activated his turn signal, moved into traffic, and went straight. So that's the thing. But the magistrate said, nope, that's not how it works. Well, here's the thing. This judge on the appeal says, where a statute is plain, clear, and unambiguous, the court is constrained to follow the plain meaning and neither add to the statute nor take away by judicial construction. The court is to construe a statute as a whole and consider all sections of applicable statutes together to determine the intent of the legislature. And there is an Idaho code, driving on highways laned for traffic, at section 49-637. And it talks about when you shall do certain things. But the statute states that traffic control devices may be erected directing specified traffic to use a designated lane or to designate those lanes to be used by traffic moving in a particular direction, regardless of the center of the highway, and drivers of vehicles shall obey the directions of every device. The state argues that once a vehicle enters a turn-only lane, a driver cannot leave that lane. It's not what the statute says. It is clear that a vehicle cannot remain in that lane and go straight ahead, because, of course, that would be a violation of what that statute says. But there is an earlier provision that says a vehicle shall be driven as nearly as practicable entirely in a single lane, and shall not be moved from that lane until the driver has first ascertained that the movement can be made with safety. It also talks about where crossing the lane line markings is discouraged, the lane line markings shall consist of a normal or wide solid white line. That's from the Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Highways. But in Idaho, the solid white line is discouraged from crossing, but there's nothing wrong with crossing it. It's almost like a cautionary thing. So a solid white line is what he crossed is fine. And the fact of the matter is he never got to that intersection before he changed lanes. So when he went through the intersection, he was in the lane that was for going through the intersection. And the thing that says this lane left turn only, he wasn't in that lane when he went through the intersection. So the appellant, Mr. Goddard, contends a reasonable person of average intelligence understands that traffic control devices erected at an intersection apply to actions at the intersection and not to actions before the intersection. Makes sense. The court agrees. Reduced to basics, the appellant was faced with a traffic device that made it clear he could not remain in that lane and go straight. The same statute defined the manner for changing lanes, and he's allowed to change lanes. So beside him was a broad white line dividing the turn lane he was in from the adjacent lane that goes straight. That indicated he could cross over that line, merge with the adjacent lane. It was discouraged, but allowed. He signaled and changed lanes with no danger to other traffic so far as this record shows. Certainly, there's no sense to an interpretation of road markings that say a driver cannot do something and at the same time allow the driver to do it. This was an allowable driving maneuver executed with the care required by the broad white line marking. And so the court actually does a very good job of laying out what the arguments were made by Mr. Goddard, and he appears to have made them quite eloquently. And I've read a lot of stuff written by judges and attorneys that's dense, it's thick, it's convoluted. And I've read some stuff by non-attorneys that's very, very well written. And I can tell by this opinion, because it quotes portions of Mr. Goddard's argument, that he actually made a very, very good argument. And of course, he beat the state of Idaho, technically. They had an attorney. And at the top of the page, it goes, attorney for the defendant, appellant, and goes, colon, pro se. And the court made a note of this to note that pro se litigants are held to the same standards and rules as those represented by an attorney. A litigant appearing pro se is held to the same standards and rules as those appearing without counsel. So you don't get breaks because you don't have an attorney. And I've had a lot of people think that. And I've seen some courts that have clearly decided to go easy on somebody who was trying and was doing the best they could, but wasn't an attorney. And I've seen that before. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you don't get special benefits. You don't get to break the rules. You got to follow the same rules that the attorneys follow. And if you can do it, great. So my hat is off, figuratively speaking, to Stephen Goddard, who sent me this note along with this PDF of an opinion that shows that he did the righteous thing. He went to court and he fought a ticket and he lost. He took that up on appeal and he won. And this gets you back to the notion that a police officer wrote a ticket. So it wasted his time, I'm referring to Goddard's, at the side of the road. He then had to go to court and have a hearing in front of a magistrate, which he lost. More wasted time. And then he had to go to court and argue this opinion, argue this matter on appeal. More wasted time. So wasted a whole bunch of time. And I'm sure he did a lot of preparation and stuff, obviously, before he went to court. So a lot of time and effort went into this struggle. But he did finally come out ahead and he won the case. So I'm glad he sent it. If you've got something like this, by the way, send it to me. I love this stuff. But, you know, if someone were to send me a note and say, hey, Steve, I beat the cops all the time. I'm in Idaho and, you know, cop pulled me over for going in the wrong lane through an intersection and I beat that. But great. Can you send me a copy of the opinion? There you go, right there. So again, District Court of the 4th Judicial District, State of Idaho, in and for the County of Ada, and the opinion on appeal. And it's the State of Idaho versus Stephen Goddard, and Mr. Goddard won the case. So I have to salute him for doing that. Mr. Goddard, thank you for sending me the opinion. I appreciate it very much. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Does anyone else think it's wrong that only one company makes the game Monopoly?